This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
All I remember is being rushed to the hospital because my ear was falling off. It was hanging by like a limb. I'm hoping my hearing comes back normal. Didn't hit the nerve that it could have hit, because if it did, I would have been left with no motion on the left side of my face.
That was Sarah Baker, an American mother, telling CBS4 how she survived an accident as the Takata-made airbag in her vehicle exploded. Malaysian Law Suk Le wasn't so fortunate. The pregnant mother of one was struck in the neck by shrapnel in a similar incident in Sarawak last July, bleeding to death on her way to the hospital. Her unborn child was delivered alive, but died days later. It's been a year since Law's death, one of eight linked to the faulty airbags, the only fatality outside the United States. The question now is, are we taking the issue seriously in Malaysia? Ratna Devi Nadarajan is the CEO of the Malaysian Association of Standards Users. She admits that the Road Transport Department and the Transport Ministry need to respond more effectively.
We contacted them last October about this issue. And it seems like from the response that they gave us, only when they saw our letter with the relevant attachment from the NHTSA, did they start the investigation. I think I get that kind of message from the response they gave us.
There has been no cohesive action plan in Malaysia, even though the case is the largest recall in automotive history.
In Malaysia, I mean, vehicle safety, there's just too many people involved. So people just drop the ball when it comes to grey areas, like who actually oversees recalls, who actually looks at automotive safety, so on and so forth. So when we inquired about the state of the issue here in Malaysia last year, they said, okay, instructed various departments to prepare a report. Instead, they should have actually had an emergency meeting with the brand owners and find out what they're going to do with this information.
Ratna clarifies this is because, like other Asian nations, the country lacks the proper safety regulations to handle problems, which are also often downplayed.
The recall mechanism in Malaysia is seriously flawed, especially when it comes to automotive, and there is no regulatory body overseeing the effectiveness of these recall exercises. So, like, for example, the U.S. one, the National Highway Transportation Safety Authority, is on top of the issue. They provide the guidelines and work with the automotive suppliers and the Takata airbag manufacturers to ensure that the recalls are carried out effectively. So the users, the car users, have got a point of reference, a competent authority which they can go to find out more information about the impact of the recalls and if their vehicles are involved. But in Malaysia, if you go to the JPJ website or even the JKJR website or the MIROS website, there's very little information.
Overall, Malaysian officials have been comparatively silent on the recalls, a stark contrast to the proactive stance their American counterparts have taken. In December, the Subcommittee on Commerce, Manufacturing and Trade kicked off the hearing, titled Takata Airbag Ruptures and Recalls. This is Chairman Lee Terry's opening address, highlighting the urgency of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's efforts to address the problem.
Our highway safety depends on the vigilance of manufacturers as well as NHTSA. Sometimes the regulator is in the best position to defend the defect, and sometimes it's the manufacturer. The time has come to bring the facts together and make sure that the unsafe airbag inflators are off the market. Consumers can get their faulty parts replaced and the future recalls are handled better. The safety of American drivers depend on our collective success.
11 auto firms have issued a combined 34 million recalls in the U.S. Here, Edaran Tanchong Motors has issued recalls for Nissan cars, joining the likes of Honda Malaysia, UMW Toyota Motor and BMW Malaysia. Fuji Heavy Industries has since confirmed some Subaru models in Malaysia are also on the list. But what more needs to be done? Ratna cites the U.S. as an example, but admits the issue is not easily resolved.
What the U.S. safety authority have asked the consumers or the car users to do is they have this tool called a VIN number lookup, the vehicle identification number, I think. So the American public can actually go to the safety authority website and look up whether their VIN number is associated with the recalls. But there's also a problem with car being resold many times, different owners. So sometimes these cars, they go unnoticed. One death was associated with this kind of incident in the U.S. So in Malaysia, I think we have similar problems. I'm sure there is a central database by DPJ so on the vehicle registration numbers, but tracking down the owners and ensuring that particular vehicle is brought to the service center to be replaced, that is another issue.
Now, this means the manufacturers must play a bigger role in taking responsibility for flawed products. Ratna says local car makers need to act immediately as public safety is at stake.
Malaysians who drive, anybody who drives should be very concerned. You see, when you look at the brand owner's website, they call this recall, other than recall, they call it with any other name. They call it precautionary update or service product improvement campaign. I mean, if it's a recall, just call it a recall, right? So when you downplay it by using such terms, people think, oh, this is not serious, you know? So it's just a product improvement campaign. My car is doing fine, no? If it's a recall, just call it a recall. So I think that will sensitize the general public to act. I cannot emphasize enough that this is really a safety issue.
So which authority in Malaysia has jurisdiction over the issue of recalls?
Actually, the JPJ and very specifically the engineering division in JPJ should be looking at it because the vehicle approval process is under this division, under JPJ. So the law must allow them to act decisively in case of this kind of safety recalls occur, which I've seen so many times.
Another question is, who is liable for any damages, injuries or fatalities?
I want to firstly offer my heartfelt condolences to those who have lost their lives because of our damaged airbags. I also want to again apologise for the concern this fault may cause everyone.
That was Takata's new president, Shigehisa Takada. He has apologised publicly for the deaths, but the company previously resisted expanding the recall, was unwilling to shoulder the full cost of replacing the parts, and even underreported the number of related accidents. There's also concern that any injuries or deaths related to metal shards from the airbags would be hard to identify, leaving many cases unreported. On that note, Ratna tells motorists that it is better to be safe than sorry, telling them to act before an accident happens.
This is a serious safety issue, really serious safety issue, so they should actually actively seek out this information. They can actually come to us, send it to users, or they can contact JPJ directly for the information. So the public comes out, bombard them with all these inquiries so they would back up.
Meanwhile, Sarawakian Law Suk Le's father has launched a legal suit against Honda Motor and Takata Corp for the death of his daughter and grandchild. The case is one of several class action lawsuits that have been filed in the U.S. against Takata. Law's husband, Wilhelmo Rodriguez Caido Jr., confirms the suit is still ongoing, but declined to elaborate on the advice of the family to avoid jeopardizing the court case. Takata's Malaysian office, the Road Transport Department and the Transport Ministry have not responded to our requests for interviews. This is Nadia Aziz reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.